please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 616. We'll read a few verses here, then we'll turn to two other scriptures. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 6, the fifth verse, is a text verse for this morning's message. Let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read responsibly through the first six verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Turn, please, now to Proverbs chapter 16. In your Schofield Bible, page 683. Proverbs 16 and the third verse. We'll read this verse only from this chapter. Let's read together, please. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Turn now to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16, verse 11, in your Schofield Bible, page 1098. The 11th verse of the 16th chapter of Luke. Let's read. Ready? If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And let's pray. Father, you've given us a wonderful day. You've given us a wonderful place in which to meet. You've given us wonderful fellowship among those of thy people. You've given us a wonderful book. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearing. Bless and help us to listen with purpose and with hunger of heart. Bless and be with our preacher with power. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a dual title for my sermon. I wanted to call it Whatever Happened to Commitment. And then I also wanted to call it, some did, the rest almost did. Some did. That's this crowd this morning. Some did, and the rest almost did. There's one little word that divides them, commitment. Whatever happened to commitment? I really do want you to hear me. I always want you to hear me, but I want to talk to you this morning why you people that didn't should not be Pharisees. Because you all, those of you that didn't, have no right to look down your Pharisaical noses at those who did, because you almost did. And those of you that did have no right to feel hopeless, because those that didn't almost did. We're closer to each other than we think. There is a fine line between the wrecked life and the life that's never been wrecked. Usually, it's what happened at one particular moment in that life. Please listen carefully. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me to be a blessing this morning. More than that, help me to be a help. More than that, help me to be used of God to change some lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Every verse we read a while ago had in it something about commitment. The word commitment means to bind by promise. To bind by promise. The difference in one who is committed and makes a commitment is one whose word is as good as his signature or his bond. One of the greatest, most practical, and most helpful verses in all the Bible is this: "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." I'm going to leave it with that. I'm not going to finish it. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Now listen very, very carefully. This verse teaches us that the difference between us is not caused by the different set of circumstances. It's caused by commitment or lack of commitment. "There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to everybody else." Now the difference in the fellow who succumbs and the fellow who resists is one word: commitment. What it says is, and listen carefully, that in any given circumstance, there are enough people who share it with you that no one has an excuse for wrong, and that anyone can have the victory. Now, I'm going to take about 10 or 15 minutes here and very quietly lay the foundation for the sermon. There are people here today who have exactly the same burden that you have, and bear it. Then there are people here today who have, whatever your burden is, doesn't matter what it is, there are people today who have the same, exactly the same burden that you have, and crumble. What's the difference? You say one is strong and one is weak. Oh no, that's not it at all. You say one is more tempted. That's not it at all. There's no temptation taking you, but this is common to man. The difference is one word: commitment. There are people here who face the same heartache that you have. I've often said, you're not the only one that hurts. You're not the only one has a heartache or a heartbreak. There are people all over this room this morning who face the same heartache that you face. There are some here this morning who have that same heartache and have held up under it. There are others here this morning who have had that same heartache and have broken under it. What's the difference? Commitment. Whatever happened to commitment? Whatever happened to people that pay their debts on time? Whatever happened to people that don't make debts they can't pay? I was in a motel room the other day. A lawyer came on the television set at news time, commercial time, and said, "I specialize in bankruptcy cases. If you want to get out," he said, "of paying your debts, you contact me." That lawyer ought to be in the penitentiary. I'm saying today that commitment is almost history. Commitment to Christ. Commitment to country. Commitment to decency. Commitment to family. Commitment to husband. Commitment to wife. It's almost history. There are people here this morning. Now listen carefully to this. There are people here this morning that are facing the same temptation you're facing. You're not the only one that has the burden you have. You're not the only one that has the heartache that you have. You're not the only one that carries the load that you carry. And you're not the only one that is facing the same temptation that you're facing. But there are people this morning who are facing that same temptation that you're facing who resist it. And then there are people this morning who have that same temptation who yield. Now what's the difference? Somebody says one person is oversexed. That's the devil's lie. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Somebody said one person is just a weak person. That's the devil's lie. The difference, ladies and gentlemen, is commitment. Now some of you folks ought to listen. You haven't got enough commitment to pay attention in church. You sit there with that dazed look on your face, staring around in space, hoping it'll be over after a while, so you can go home and watch the Bulls play basketball. I'll tell you the truth I'm preaching this morning will still be alive when Michael Jordan is 6 feet beneath the grave. I'm saying America needs revival of commitment. Our people, our marriages, our church members, our homes, our honors at stake, a revival of commitment. There are people this morning in this room who are fighting the same battle that you're fighting. Same one exactly.
It's not unique to you. You're not the first person to ever fought it. It's been fought before. You're not the last person to ever fight it. It'll be fought again. And you're not the only person fighting it now. There are dozens of people in this room fighting the very same battle that you're fighting. But some of those people fighting that battle will win that battle and hold up under the battle. And some will give up and quit and lose. And the difference is commitment. America's dying because of a lack of character. And character basically is simply the word commitment. Look at me and listen, young people. Act like you care whether you don't or not. You need to hear what I'm saying. Good night. Our credit cards. Our buying on credit. Our going down and buying stuff and don't even know whether you can pay or not. Our country's crumbling. Listen, Democrats won't save this country. And Republicans won't save this country, but commitment and character could save this country. There are people in this room who face the same obstacles that you face and quit. Then there are people that face the same obstacles you face and endure. We say, boy, she sure is a strong person. No, she's not. She's a person that's committed. The difference is not strength or weakness. The difference is commitment. We like to blame circumstances. Circumstances are not the difference. The difference is somebody is committed and they win, and others are not committed and they lose. Some college students are committed and they go home when the same thing faces another college student and they stay. And the reason is one is committed and the other's not committed. And the word commitment is lost in that person's vocabulary. I said some did and some almost did. Hear me carefully. Whatever caused you to crumble, whatever caused you to fall, everybody in this room that didn't crumble and didn't fall, almost did. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say the difference in an honorable man and a dishonorable man is this. A dishonorable man, he and his wife have a fuss. The honorable man, he and his wife have a fuss. And honorable people do have fusses with their wives. I can say this honestly, it's always the wife's fault. Right? 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 It's unanimous, folks. Right? Right? There it is. You can't buck public opinion. Hush. Hush. Well, Dr. Bob Jones, he used to say, the honorable man, this honorable man, first he goes out, and he goes down to the coffee shop, gets a cup of coffee, and there's a pretty little girl there beside him, and she says, hello there, and he says, hello. And she says, how are you? And he says, fine, how are you? She said, would you like to have some fun tonight? He said, I sure would. She said, come with me. And he goes. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, the honorable man has a fuss with his wife. He goes down to the coffee shop, drink a cup of coffee. The lady says, hello. He says, hello. We're talking about the honorable man now. And the little lady says, how are you? And he says, fine, how are you? And she says, would you like to have some fun with me tonight? And he says, I sure would. And she says, come with me. And he says, I can't. I'm committed to my wife. Fine line there. Both had the fuss. Both went out. Both met the gal. Both were tempted. One yielded. The other didn't. And I think it's little time that you people that have yielded quit blaming your uncle or your aunt and quit going to some dumb psychiatrist that blames everything except one thing. Let me tell you what the psychiatrist ought to tell you. The reason you're having your problems is you are not a person of commitment.
Illustration. 1.2 million couples divorce each year in America. 1.2 million couples divorce each year in America. More marriages now end in divorce than do not. 60% of those divorces are in families where little children are involved. 700,000 divorces in America every year where little children are involved. You selfish ogre. Well, it's best for them not to see us fuss. That's not true. That's the devil's lie.
I'm not criticizing you folks. There are people who this morning have unavoidable divorces, and if you had one that was not avoidable, I'm not preaching to those of you that have already gone through divorce. I'm talking to those of you that don't have to but are thinking about it. I'm talking to those of you that love yourself more than you love your child. I'm talking to you that don't give a flip about your child, and you cause that little child to have to go a Christmas with one parent and Thanksgiving with another, and over here for 2 days on the weekend, and back here for 5 days for school, and back here on the weekend, and you go to church with this parent and church with that parent. Why don't you get some commitment in your life?
Now the difference, follow me carefully, the difference between those who remain married, most of them, and those who divorce, is not that because of more love. It's not because of fewer difficulties, but greater commitment. I promise you that 90% of the divorces in America today, I promise you the people that don't get divorces face the same trials that those that do in most cases. They go through a time in their lives when they feel like perhaps we're not compatible anymore, and they face the same thing. I'm saying some did and the rest almost did. The difficulties are often the same, but those with commitment ride out the difficulties. Their words more important to them than fun. Their words more important to them than lust. Their words more important to them than pleasure. Some of the happiest marriages in this church have faced the same crises that those faced who divorced. Look, I know you. You can't kid me. That's one reason why you'll never send me to jail, because I got enough on you to put you in the next cell. I mean, I know you. I've been with you 36 and a half years. Too many of you have been to my office having marital problems. Now, you listen carefully. The happiest, some of the happiest married people in this room this morning. Listen to me now. Some of the happiest married people in this room this morning have been to my office with the very same problem that some of the people had that came and didn't stay together and got divorced. Circumstances the same. Well, you heard the old story. Somebody asked Dr. Bob Jones Sr., did you ever want to divorce your wife? He said, no, I wanted to kill her many times, but never wanted to divorce her. I wanted to choke her. I'm trying to say that they're the same thing. Here are two couples. They come to the same crisis. And one couple divorces and the other couple doesn't divorce. Again, I'm not criticizing those of you that are. That's behind you. I'm not criticizing any of you that had perfect right to do it and you couldn't help it because it was out of your hand. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying there are hundreds of couples in this room this morning who faced the crisis over here, and hundreds that faced the same crisis over here. And this crowd over here said, I don't think we can make it. And this crowd said, I don't think we can make it. And this crowd said, we ought to get a divorce. And this crowd said, we ought to get a divorce. And this crowd goes down to the judge of the county and gets a divorce. And this crowd all of a sudden stops and said, wait a minute, we made a commitment. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. I'm talking today about pastors who leave churches. Dr. Lee Robertson stayed at the same church for over 40 years. Dr. Tom Malone pastored the same church over 40 years and left for 10 years and is back again. I've been here going on 37 years. Now, do you think, men like J. Frank Norris, stayed at the same church many years. Dr. Bob Gray in Jacksonville, Florida, stayed at the same church about 35 years. Do you think for a single moment that these little fellows that get in a battle in a church and run have worse battles than E. Robertson did?
not on your life. I can recall when Lee Robertson was fighting some battles at his church. He had some opposition. I can recall when some of the students in his college even printed articles against him and peddled them around the dormitories and so forth. And brother, hell hath no fury that ought to be poured out on somebody like that. But I can recall when Lee Robertson faced a battle and resigned. And the Associated Press carried the story all over the country. He resigned. But Lee Robertson changed his mind. I wonder how many other men who have languished in failure or mediocrity, when they faced that same thing and they resigned, they kept their resignation valid. Lee Robertson realized he'd made a mistake and realized he made a commitment to his people and changed his mind and stayed there over 40 years. The difference in greatness and weakness and the difference in success and failure, 9 times out of 10 or 9 times out of 100, is not talent, it's plain old persevering commitment. You promised you would. I can tell you some battles that Dr. Malone had back yonder years ago in Pontiac, Michigan. Lesser men across America faced the same battles. They quit, turned back. The difference was Tom Malone faced it, this guy faced it. Tom Malone had a commitment, this guy didn't. Tom Malone kept going, this guy turned back. J. Frank Norris, First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, faced the same battle that me, a little wimpy preacherette, faced. And turn back. I know preacher after preacher. They go someplace for 3 years and someplace for 4 and someplace for 5 and someplace for 1. Always looking for that ideal place. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no ideal place. Every pastor faces the same temptation. I've said to preachers across the country, that deacon that has horns, nothing personal there. That deacon that has horns there, that horn deacon in your church, you run from him, you'll find him waiting on the front porch of the next church where you go. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You run from your battle, you'll find the same battle where you run. And you get scared and turn back, you'll find the same heartache and the same heartbreak where you go. I'm saying if you make a commitment, keep it. Please forgive me for including myself in that group. Many little wimpish preachers turned back when he faced the same battles that I faced. I didn't come to quit, I came to stay. One time at the church years ago, some folks came to my office and said, it's time you left. I looked at that crowd of people and said, it's much easier for you to change your membership than me to move my furniture. You can move your membership in 5 minutes. Take me a week to get my furniture packed and move. So I think I'm just going to stay. Now, if you want to stay here while I stay, you stay. If you want us to leave while I stay, you stay. But I'm here to stay. Why? I made a commitment. By the way, one of the reasons I'm behind this pulpit today, you find the businessman in this town says, I didn't pay my debts on time. You find him. Wasn't it Samuel that said, I've been among you for these years. I've defrauded nobody. I think it was Samuel. When Samuel said that, Samuel said, let the man stand up that I've defrauded. Show me the businessman can point to me and say, I paid my debts late. I'm talking about a day late. Show me the man can stand up and say, I haven't worked hard for 36 and a half years. You say, what is it? Commitment. Commitment. The difference between pastors who leave or stay is that they have the same obstacles. Some have committed themselves and some have not. Illustration. The difference between church members who leave or stay. Now listen, folks. I'm no fool. I'm no dummy. I know that practically everybody in this room this morning has gotten mad at me. I know that because I've been mad at everybody in this room. But I'm no dummy. I assure you that most of the people in this room have gone home sometime and said, I just don't understand him. Why, all he harps on is women wearing pants. That's not true. I harp on women not wearing pants. Wearing dresses. Now, follow me carefully. The difference between the happy members of this church today and those that left is a fine line. They came to the place to where both were tempted to leave. And one family said, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm going somewhere else where the rules and standards are not so strict. But the other family said, I made a commitment. I'm going to use an illustration this morning. This man right here. Probably shouldn't do this. And I love you, Bob. A man with scandalous intent, the intent to hurt, came to talk to this man right here years ago. He also came and talked to another man that worked at Howells Henderson College. He told that other man the same story he told him. The other man weighed what he said, and Bob weighed what he said. The other man said, I'm not going to be loyal, and Bob said, I am. Now, I happen to know that Bob weighed it. I happen to know he had the same temptation for a little while the other fellow did. What's the difference? He had commitment. I'm not saying those of you that don't have commitment this morning and those who crumbled or stumbled because of it, I'm not saying we're looking down our noses at you and criticizing you, because we almost did too. We had the same temptation. We had the same desire. We had the same devil. We had the same circumstances. And we almost did, but just before we did, something said, you made a promise. You made a commitment. You can't do that. You did. We almost did. We're not criticizing you. We're asking you to understand that if you have commitment in the final analysis, that's the only thing going to keep you loyal and faithful. The only difference in those that leave Howells Henderson College and those that don't is some did and some almost did. The person that stayed faced the same homesickness that the turncoat faced. The person that stayed disagreed with some of the rules just like the person that left. But the person that stayed made a commitment. I've come to graduate. I've come to get an education. I've come because I trust this college, and I've never run a college. I don't know how to run a college, and so I don't know whether I'm right. I think these folks have run this college for years, and they know how to do it, and I'm committing myself to Howells Henderson College. But I want to remind you, those that stayed almost left. Some did, and the others almost did. Illustration. This man right here on the end. I hired him. I happened to love him devotedly. When I hired him, I committed myself to him like I expect him to commit himself to me. And I feel sorry for you folks who have never committed yourself to anybody except yourself. Now, I put him in a place where he was tremendously successful. I felt like I should change him to another place, and he went to that place where he struggled. And I'll be quite frank with you, he was not successful in the other. He was principal of our high school. He had some problems. Nothing his fault. It was a conflict, a personality conflict usually. Said, you fire him? Didn't even think about firing him. Didn't think about firing him. What'd you do? Found another place for him in our ministry here. And now he's far more valuable than he would have been if he had stayed where he was. You say, well, Brother Howells, why didn't you fire him? I'm committed to him. As long as he'll work, and as long as he's loyal, he's got a job here. This lady right here, Mrs. Gilbert, had a job. Wasn't working out. She worked here. Wasn't working out. She wasn't suited to the job. You say, did you fire? No, I didn't fire. Why? She's loyal. I didn't fire her. There was a personality conflict. I kept her. Why? Because I was committed to her. So I changed her and gave her another job. I've done the same thing to many people here in the church. I don't hire somebody until they don't satisfy me in a certain area. Bless God, you're looking at a fella who has commitment. I commit myself to my staff. I committed myself to this church. I've committed myself to truth. I've committed myself to this Bible. And I want to tell you this morning, you'll be proud of yourself if you'd ever get commitment.
Look at the people who did what you almost did. And by the way, all of us almost did what you did. 36 years ago, that man right there and that woman right there were teenagers in our church. I came to pastor here. They were not yet married. The battle came. My philosophy and ideologies were different from much of the church membership when I came. And they, like many of you, faced the issue. Are we going to stick with the preacher? This new preacher from Texas? He's different. He's changed our church. He's changed our type of services. He's changed our emphasis. The truth is, the guy led the people to make the deacon board resign and the board of trustees resign. That's what it is. And re-elected a brand new board of deacons and disbanded the board of trustees. Had 22 committees in the church, disbanded all of them. Everything's different. Now this man and that little lady faced the same decision that hundreds of others did. But they voted for me when I came. I can still recall Mamie Brown, president of the Francis Lady Sunday School class. They brought me up in the class and a bunch of the people said, "We're going to vote this man out." And Mamie Brown stood up. She was a young lady then. She stood up and she said, "Look, girls, ladies, we voted this man in our church. He has a right to prove himself one way or the other. He deserves a chance." Now, the reason they stayed, they voted for me. And in voting me, they brought Ms. Howells and me and our children from Texas. We left her parents. We left my mother and my sister and her brother. We left our home state, our home county. We left all of our past and came here. And these people said he has a right to prove himself. We voted for him and we have committed ourselves to give him a chance to show. That's the difference. Please forgive me for saying this, but I was talking the other day to one of our men who stayed through these years. We're talking about another man who left. A good man, by the way. A good man. He was a young man back in those days. He retired just recently. Man, he loved me. He just told me. He said, "I love you. I like you. I think you're a great guy, but I just can't put up with your preaching." You know how he felt. He joined another church. They're running 1,000 then. They're down less than 100 now. Think what he could have enjoyed if he had stayed here for these 36 years. Think of all the people he could have seen saved and all the blessing. But now there's one difference. This man had commitment. That's the difference. I'm saying some did, and the rest almost did. So you who almost did, throw away your phylacteries and your pharisaical garments. Throw away your snooty nose. Throw away your pride and self-esteem. Throw it away and realize there's just a little fine line between you. You folks that are criticizing these divorcees, you better watch it out because you almost did. You say, "Prove it." I remember you came to my office about 75 or 30 years ago. I remember. I don't remember much, but I remember that. I remember all the bad things. I have a selective memory. I select all the bad things to remember. I remember. So those of you today who did and wish you hadn't, let me remind you that you still have some life left. And you can become a person whose word means something. In some cases, it'll mean throwing away your credit cards. In some cases, it'll mean never buying another thing on credit as long as you live. It simply means that you're going to become a person of commitment. Whatever happened to commitment? America has gone down the sewer because we have reared a generation of people to whom commitment means nothing. I use the illustration and quit. It's personal. This morning, Randy Erickson and I, we meet here at the table every morning to discuss the temperature. Every time the temperature is perfect, I win the argument. If you're ever uncomfortable, it's Randy's fault. Randy was talking about the Sunday school lesson this morning. He said, as you talk about the perfect blend of strength and beauty and grace and truth, honor and majesty, mercy and truth, and righteousness and truth, he said, would you like to bring me up on the platform and use me for an illustration of that this morning? I said, boy, you're going to be surprised I'll bring you up on the platform. But I want to tell you something. Please, Randy, have mercy on me and forgive me. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to use your testimony as an illustration to encourage others. His wife, for how many years? 17, I guess. We're at the Civic Center having services back 21, 22 years ago. All of a sudden, his wife leaned over Dorothy and she said, Randy, I can't see Brother Hiles very well. Brother, you get the place you can't see me well. You're missing an awful lot. After a while, a few days, they took her for test and found she had brain tumors. She had to have operation on her brain and it left her unable to walk. She had to crawl everywhere she went. Left her unable to talk plainly.
She talked like this is the way she talked.
Randy, nobody, no man that I've ever known in my life has ever been as loyal to a woman as Randy was to Dorothy. He cooked for her, cleaned the house, bathed her. Everything that a wife, Randy had to do it. I took Randy on a trip one day with me to Orlando, Florida. He's about to break. He said, Preach, I don't think I can take you any longer. And I said, Randy, you've got to. And he said, Preacher, why? And I said, because you stood before Preacher one day or just the peace. And you said, for better, for worse, till death do us part. And I said, Randy, this is the for worse. You made a commitment. To his everlasting credit, he bowed, bowed his back and said, I know it and I'll keep it. That isn't all. Randy is one of the most valued employees that I have here and one of the most important employees we have here. A few years ago, Randy decided that he was wasting himself here. For some reason or other, he decided he wanted to go out and get a big job in a secular field. He said, Preacher, I love you like I love no man in the world, but I just feel like I need to go out and get me a job in the secular field. I wrote Randy a long letter. I said, Randy, I understand, but I'd hoped you'd be with me for life. I'd hoped you'd stay beside me here at the church. I'd hoped you'd stay with me for life. And a long, simple letter. I love you whatever you do, but I sort of thought we were a team for life. Randy wrote back and said, I'm staying. What am I trying to say? The difference between a valued friend like Randy Erickson and people that waste their lives is one little fine line. Just one little fine line. The difference between those who are dishonest and those who are honest this morning is some dead and the rest almost dead. The difference between those who have fallen and those who have not fallen is some dead and the rest almost dead. If you are one of those that almost dead, don't look down on those who did, because one little fine line kept you from where they are. And then if you're one of those that did but almost didn't, realize that you're not much worse than the other guy. We're so close that it's hard to tell us apart. So stand on your 2 feet and say, from this moment forward, I'm making some commitments. I ask you a question this morning. Whatever happened to commitment? Whatever happened to commitment?
Brother Hiles, I want to have some fun in life. You'll never have as much fun as you'll have as when your word means something to you.
How about you today? How about your commitment? I'm trying to bring those who did up and those who didn't down, because we're mighty close to each other. So you have company in your grief, and you have a choice this morning. Selfishness or commitment? Selfishness or commitment? Selfishness of going back home and not finishing college or commitment? Selfishness of causing your little children to grow up, having to visit mom and dad occasionally, or go to one or the other, or commitment? The selfishness of wanting your way or commitment? Some did, and the rest almost did. Would you bow your heads, please?